Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Happy Tuesday, and I hope you are well wherever you are. 402-464-5685 is the Starter Hammer text line if you want to be a part of what we're doing. Tonight is an interesting opportunity, one, to bring back an old friend and have a conversation that today is needed, because I want to jump into several different pools that he has some insight to and some connection to. So let's do the thing. There is a proper introduction for this gentleman. Harrison, if you would, please.
Here's a guy that gives them more depth at UNLV. Everett Gray brings 9 points off the bench for Coach Tarkanian in less than 20 minutes of play in a game. Here he'll have a chance. Oh, as he goes up for the dunk, Miller takes a piece of the arm. Two on Miller now. Team foul number five. Here's another basketball player with a baseball background. He was a third round pick of the Astros in 87, was Everett Gray.
Let's bring him on the Allo VIP line, Everett Gray. Mr. Gray, what's happening, bro?
It's been a long time, Mr. DP.
Mr. DP, you have never said those words together.
Yeah, I know, right? But I had to.
Slightly uncomfortable. It was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah. Hey, man, how you doing, bro? What's happening?
I am busy, man. I know you and I were supposed to hook up a few times and, you know, with the volleyball stuff. And it's just been super busy with our club stuff, DP, with the having this new Nike deal and then being in two different states at the same time, you know, and it was just super busy for us this spring and summer, but it's good to catch up with you.
Well, we wanted to be pretty regular because I know even with your busyness that we can find time in a week and do this. And it's part of having one-on-one where I can do these interviews whenever I want and go live with it. So there's benefit. First of all, the sad news today about Steve Klauke passing.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one. And, you know, DP is a good dude. I got to know him a little bit, you know, a lot, working with the Larry Miller group. You know, I used to do some private security for those, for that family, and you know, and I used to go to ball games because you know the AAA team here, and I don't think your listeners don't know, but the AAA team in Salt Lake is the Anaheim team. So I had to be around some guys sometimes, like Mike Trout and some like that. But you get to hang out with Klauke, and it's sad that he passed away. You know, and the rumor, you know, I mean, they say he got hit by a car, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens, but he's gone. But he was a good dude. He was good to me.
Yeah, he was, I mean, in the space that we were in at 1320 K-Fan, he was there and established when we got there. He was an afternoon guy. when we came into the building, and he was one of those ones that not only welcomed me and us, but that he would whisper those absolute truths, right? Those things that, hey, man, if it gets tough, get through it. It'll be worth it. If somebody gives you a hard time, get through it. You're good.
Right.
He would actually poke his head into our Saturday morning shows and just add compliments. So losing him, Weber State's sad today. The Salt Lake Bees and the Anaheim organization are sad today. Losing Klauke, he was just a good dude in this business, and he got to live how he wanted, man. That was that's an important thing. We'll miss him, but my goodness, he was a good dude. On that note, it through a lot of what we've been through over the course of decades, like sports tends to separate, and we're having different conversations now. And as the games evolve, I want to be clear in that there's some historical context to all of it. You being in your time at UNLV, and you've told as many things as you can tell and feel safe without telling too much. But here's the thing that leads to me. Was UNLV's successful run, was that a talent thing, a coaching thing, a development thing, a chemistry thing? What made UNLV capable of having the run that they got, putting together the talent they put together?
It's a big deal with it starts with Coach Tark giving people second chances, DP. So the people he looked at and recruited, they were talented kids, but it was some baggage with it too. Not all of them. So he looked at the good in everyone, and if you were loyal to him, he will be loyal to you and your family. So it was a big family effort in that situation with his assistant coaches and even the people down to the secretaries. The crazy part, DP, is a lot of even the secretaries are living off Tark. I was in Dallas for a couple weeks ago with my daughter playing with Team Canada, and I reached out, and this our secretary is working for the Minnesota Timberwolves now. She gave us some tickets. We gave Alexa some tickets to go to the game. It's just a big family thing. So the thing is that all the people, you know, it's weird that, you know, there's going to be a big show coming out, DP, with this Kings of Vegas, with, you know, Larry is producing it, about the time that he was there. Obviously, I was there with him. And this is the first time anyone speaking about this. So it was just loyal. It was just, people were just great. It was a family environment. We were really close, even though we did some stuff. We fought. We got in a lot of fights, some gunplay. Gilbert Arenas before. We were Gilbert Arenas before Critton and Gilbert Arenas, but we never took it over that. And I've never really told you that some of those stories because, you know, I can't really get into it. But it's been some situations where, you know, family fights sometimes. And it never crossed where it got too crazy. But I think it was all of that coaching environment, just closeness, family, because most of those guys that was there were on second chances. So that's how we got really close.
We're talking to Everett Gray, of course, with UNLV and the NBA, and now as a coach and leader. A lot of your conversations end up in the Coach Tarkanian conversation. What was it about Coach Tark that made him special?
He didn't really yell that much, DP. You and I talked about that. I think he yelled at me two times in 3 years, because the one year they forced him out. I had to play for Raleigh Massimino my senior year, but he was just, he got his point across. It's either you run it or you don't. If you don't play defense, you won't play. And he made that up front. And the communication was short but sweet. That's kind of the way I coach a little bit. I don't want to hear my bads. He hated my bads because my bad started like in the early 90s.
Yep.
And he used to always say, like, my bad. And he'd be like, I know. I saw it. And I say it to this day. So we're not into the my bads. But he was just a great coach. And the people he recruited, like I said before, was second chance guys. So whatever you did, you don't run through a wall for the guy. And that was the cool thing about him, that he didn't really yell that much. He kind of got after us a little bit in practice, but in game time, he never really yelled because he just wanted to sit back and watch us play because of we prepared so well before any game, and especially in practice, we prepared and shoot around practices. DP was like a full on practice, and so we got ready that way too. So the chemistry with him just by coaching us a certain way, he never deviated from that, and that's the thing I respect from him, and I take that with me when I coach my kids.
Ev, you mentioned Coach Massimino, so to go from one great to it depends on who you ask, right? That Massimino is another great. What did the two have in common? What were the similarities between Coach Tark and Coach Massimino?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It was actually absolutely nothing. Let me give you a story. I never told you this story.
All right.
So Mass gets there. He actually meets with me. And he goes, "Hey, how do I succeed here at UNLV? I said, hey, don't get into it with the media. Because back then, DP, we were the only show in town. Now you have hockey, baseball. You're going to get baseball, Aces, Raiders. You got a soccer. You got everything there. But we were the only show in town at the time. We were the NBA, everything. In the first week, he got into it with him. I was like, dude, what are you doing? I actually said that. I didn't like him. I'm like, I don't care. You just can't get into the beat writers. You can't do that. So the difference, and the other difference was study hall. I'm going to put it out there. I never told you this story. So the first week, he gets a, hey, we got a study hall, and me, JR, and a few other guys were like, what is that? And they were like, well, you never had study hall here? He was like, no, we never had anybody ineligible. Why do we need to have study hall? So basically, study hall at UNLV, my senior year with Massimino, was watching Rap City on MTV. And we didn't. We were watching, and it's a true story. We just go in there for an hour and watch Rap City. I mean, some people will study a little bit, but, you know, the thing is that we were the only show in town. We were going to be eligible. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, man. Why am I? See, this is what's funny is that, and listen, in full disclosure, I mean, Ever and I have known each other forever, and we've told each other stories, and it's constant. Right. I'm constantly amused that there are stories that never come to fruition. We never get these stories. But to think about this, that in that space with you were bigger than the NBA. Like UNLV during that run, you were as big as any team could be. You traveled like rock stars. You lived like rock stars. What were some, if I asked you to describe some of the perks of being at UNLV, what would you say?
You know, here's the deal though. As you know, people come up with these podcasts, and we've been sitting around telling stories. I was like, I need to tell these stories.
Yeah.
Because it's hilarious. It's funny too. Traveling with that team and the popularity and, you know, Gucci Roe and celebrities and, you know, you did Tupac, and I've been around so many people from Tupac to Donald Trump back in the day.
Yep.
Because Donald was in Vegas, and you wouldn't know when you went to practice, DP, you wouldn't know who's going to show up.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to be there. I think I told you the story. I don't know if I told your listeners that, you know, playing pickup with Mike Tyson was the worst thing ever because he misses a shot. He called foul and nobody will argue with him. I'm like, Mike, it's on the foul. He's like, that was a foul. I'm like, okay, what do you say to Mike? He was the guy. But he was a big UNLV fan. It was, I can't believe we haven't really done a 30 for 30 for all the celebrities that was just there. And I told some of your listeners, you just, like I said, you never show, you know, Tark was so a big fixture in even in hip hop and in black culture. We'll get on the bus, and I think I told you, dude, we got on the bus one day for a shoot around. We were back east playing Michigan State, and Walter Payton was on the bus. And, you know, you grow up, you know, I don't know if y'all, you know, in inner city L.A., we used to play throw up tackle. We used to fight over who's going to be Walter Payton.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So he's on the bus hanging out with us, and then we end up going to his club after, and that was hilarious. Can't get into that really, but it was you just never know who's going to be there. And then some of these celebrities you see that's in jail now, like Bill Cosby used to be at our practice all the time, and you know, and he was friends with Tark, and it was just a great time. And you know, the thing is that DP, it was a few people wanted me to write a book years ago, and I just told them, like, you're gonna start my car every morning, I'll write any book you want. But I had to explain to people, no one's really wrote a book. If you got to look at it, nobody's wrote a book about our era or even Tark's era back when he first got there, because there are some people that's still alive and you had to look over your shoulder. But and that's how it was a little bit at Vegas. But it was a great time, and you just never know who's going to be at practice or on the bus or at our games.
Yeah, I... There's a. I'm going to ask you to quickly rattle. Give me five more names of people who went to your practices, because I've heard some of them.
Right. Obviously, Mike Tyson, one of my favorite boxers ever. Tommy Hearns was there all the time. Whoopi Goldberg, Muhammad Ali, MC Hammer. Some people you probably know, Steve Wynn, who obviously was one of our boosters, was there. Like I said, Bill Cosby. It was just a who's who. You know, I really hung out with a lot was Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
I know that name is like crazy, but he dated one of our cheerleaders at UNLV, and he was a big fan. And if you know our cheerleaders back then, they were more popular than us.
Yes, they were. Yes.
Yeah,
you just made the statement that half the people you named were probably dating UNLV cheerleaders.
Yeah, it was good times. You name it. One of these days off air, I'll tell you the Siegfried and Roy situation.
Oh man,
it was hilarious. But. It was just, you know, anybody that was a celebrity. I met Red Fox. Here's the deal, DP. I didn't tell you this story. So whenever recruits come into town, at the Hacienda, that's where Red Fox used to be at, which is Mandalay Bay now. They blew up the Hacienda and put Mandalay Bay there. But Tark be like, hey, I need you to take this kid out this weekend, and this is what you're doing, and you're going to go hang out with Red Fox. So I got an opportunity to hang out with Red Fox a lot. And when you grow up watching Sanford and Son, and he's right there with, you know, right next to me talking, and, you know, we sipping on something together, and it was good times. It was just DP. The thing is that all these stories, because all of my travels, DP, sorry, hopefully I'm not holding you up on your, hope you're not up against it, but it's just some of these stories I need to tell, because it's so many stories with the time I was there. But meeting Red Fox and hanging out with Tommy Morrison one night, that was hilarious. It was just all these stories that come back to me, and I just need these stories to be triggered. If you trigger something, I can just remember the stories, and it's hilarious.
Every Tuesday night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Every Tuesday night with Everett Gray, we're going to do this. Yeah. We're going to do this. Hey, we'll throw it back. When we come back, some of the things you just talked about triggered today's conversation about NIL and opportunities. And I want to go back before we go forward. I want to go back to what could have been done and then kind of the things that are in play for student athletes as this sports thing, sports business, collegiate sports business evolves. DP Everett Gray here on One-on-One.
One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to One-on-One on a Tuesday weeknight. On the Aloe VIP line is Everett Gray from UNLV and the NBA. And Ev, as we're talking about it, there are perks in the great programs. Historically. So we know that there's some advantage, some reason why you would choose UNLV, why Georgetown was a thing, why North Carolina was a thing, how Georgia is the thing now, Duke basketball, et cetera. But with the change in NIL and the student athletes being able, and one, now they're talking about, well, they'll be paid by the university. What... Let me ask you, I mean, you send a lot of players to the next level. Right. And a lot of the conversation, you said that you want your players to pick a place where they're going to play.
Right.
And that on the priority list, that you're going to play should be high on the list. But I'll ask you, what are the two most important things your young people talk about when it comes to recruiting and being recruited and what they want to get from it?
Well, like you just said, just the playing time and plan, because the thing is that, so DP, I had about six kids in the portal. They probably made about $1 million. All six of them signed with different schools. They probably made about $700,000, right? With about six kids, because the going rate is, you know, most of my kids are big, so they can shoot and play the right way. So the most for the bigs are about $100K. But when it comes down to it, it doesn't really, if you get playing time and if you average around 8 points and five rebounds, DP, you can move on to another school and make more money. It's hilarious what these kids are making and what the kids, and you know, I don't want anything from, I just want my kids to be happy. But when they're throwing this money around, it's like that. That's just the way it is. Until the NCAA figure out the next step on how they're going to figure this out, I think they made a decision and they didn't really think about it. Like I said, I had about six or seven kids in the portal this year, DP, and they probably made about all of them, all combined, and made about $600,000 to $700,000. So plan time translate to getting more money, because you can just transfer anytime you want, whoever wants to pay you the most. So I got guys, as you got to realize now, DP, it's down to JUCOs now. You get NIL money in JUCOs. So I'm happy for my kids, but this is just how it is. I wouldn't want to be, I wouldn't mind being a college coach, but I don't, until they figure this out, it's got to be structural for these high, these college coaches, DP, because they have to recruit their own players every year. I've heard that kids want to hop in the portal even in like November, December, when they know they're not going to start, or they're going to be the sixth man, or their playing time is not where it needs to be. And this is where we're at. It's like the Wild Wild West. So it's just going to be very interesting in the next couple of years how this is going to play out. Obviously, we know, DP, all these schools make tons of money. I bet you just one section in Nebraska, because, you know, back in the day, it's, oh, you get a free education. Like, yeah, one section at Nebraska's football stadium pays for those guys, their education. So don't tell me that it's all about, you know, getting the education and the schools are not making the money. And I think Nebraska has been, they sold out every game in football for the last, I don't even know, since I was probably in high school. So, but there's a lot of money to be made. And I think these kids are starting to figure it out, DP.
So for the record, Nebraska has been sold out since 1962.
I wouldn't even, I was just a thought. A
they hold the record. And here's the thing, the beauty of it. I mean, that phrase, well, you're getting an education. And went, boy, stop repeating what somebody else told you. That is not really a thing. But here's the, I'm going to ask you to put your coaches and your GM hat on for, let's say, a Power Five conference team. And if you were building a team that you wanted to win the conference, so let's just say the Mountain West Conference.
Right.
You're at UNLV and you want to build a team that wins the conference title. How much are you going to have to pay per player? Let's start with the starting five, right? That if you want to be good enough, that your center, you need a legitimate big.
Right.
How much is that going to cost?
So you need, in your collectives, I think to be competitive, you need anywhere from $5 to $7 million.
Okay.
My pick.
Okay.
So your starting five needs to take at least $1 million of the seven.
Okay.
You can build, then you can build your bench with, you know, 100 here, 80, 75 there. So your big, those top five guys got to be making close to $600,000-$700,000, maybe a mil, maybe one of those five-star kids that you can grab back that was at Bishop Gorman that went and played somewhere else and want to come back and play. You're going to have to pay that guy. So your starting five, pretty much they got to be making close to $1 million. And then you can throw in, you know, the seven to six, seven, making those like 150, 200, and you can go from there. That's the only way you can probably get away with it. And that's what I heard, the going rate. There are some kids here that was making a lot of money at the University of Utah, DP.
Yeah.
And they was making anywhere from five to six, and he left. One of them left. Two of them left. Yeah. Yeah. So even the little point guard with the St. John's, and I knew what he was making. And I'm pretty sure Bertino gave him a little bit more than what he was making here, Davion. But roughly, D, I don't know if I got off the subject a little bit, but you better have at least anywhere from five to seven to be competitive. And most of the blue bloods, they have that type of money. But you know, if you want to be competitive, you're gonna have to pay a little bit. And your collective, you need to be anywhere from five to seven.
Is that number so high because there's 12 players that you need to create money for? It's a tighter pool of trying to find elite players.
You said 12. You just need eight. The other 12 is like they're happy to get an education or happy to be a part. You know, you need eight solid, and then the other four could be developmental. Like I got a 6'11" kid from England. He's got to go to a JUCO, but he could have made 100. And most of the schools want to redshirt him and get him ready because they want about two kids, DP, at the end of the bench where they can develop and try to keep them, raise their NIL every year to try to keep them because, you know, coaches don't have to really recruit that much high school kids anymore. They just go hop in the portal. and recruit people, and that the kid that's already been developed and worked out and lift, it's just getting them to buy into your system. But a lot of the back end of your roster, those are high school kids.
So
it's gonna be hard to keep them.
If we said that BYU, Utah, right? Mm-hmm. Good programs, consistent programs, not great, right? They're not going to the Elite Eight. That's not what they're doing.
Right.
But they'll be in the top 20 several times. They'll bounce around that. They'll produce some players. If you told me that each of the starters for BYU received $500,000, mm-hmm. and the second five received $250,000, are you building a different kind of depth? Does that give you a better roster than front ending five guys at $1 million and then a bunch of guys around 150? Because that gap would show up, and it wouldn't take Kentucky and Duke long to figure that out and shoot those numbers through the sky.
Well, DPU, you lived here a little bit. You know, the churches ain't no punk.
Right.
When it comes to money.
Right.
But the problem is, it's not a problem. It's like, it's not, the money part is not coming from the church anymore. It's coming from someone else. And you know who I'm talking
right.
about.
Right.
And so it's just like, can it be competitive? I think BYU can be competitive to a certain extent. I think the new coach they got is, he knows what the hell he's doing, DP. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's making a lot of money, and I know who paid him. But the thing is that, can they be competitive? Yeah. I mean, like, just if you see the NCAA, I can't wait for the next couple of years with the NCAA, because you're going to just not too many blue bloods made it to the Final Four this year.
Right.
Obviously, is Connecticut a blue blood?
Basketball, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, they got a great, great run. I mean, like, Hurley's doing a great job. But he's the only one that was in the Final Four, DP. So it's going to continue to be that way. I'm waiting for the time where it's going to be Creighton, Wisconsin, and, you know, UC Chattanooga and Samford in the Final Four, because they got somebody that has some money and they're going to get about 7 or 8 guys together. But that's just how college basketball is going. And, you know, the sad part, too, DP, I grew up a Pac-10, Pac-8 fan, and it's not there anymore. All my boys in L.A. are like, what are we going to do? I don't want to go watch Wisconsin or whoever in the Big Ten or whatever, or the ACC. It's just the sad part. And I think NIL is part of this deal where the schools are making these decisions on this NIL and players and money, and I just can't believe we don't have the Pac-12 anymore. That just drives me nuts, DP.
You're not alone in that. Ev, we're going to throw the break. When we come back, I want to talk about your family. I want to talk about your daughters and mm-hmm. give them some shout-out as well. Greatly appreciate you. He is Everett Gray. I'm DP. We'll be right back to One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment of the hour. I'm greatly appreciative of Everett Gray dropping knowledge and coming in and hanging out with me. I'm going to bug you again next Tuesday. I'm just going to let you know in advance, Ev.
That's okay.
We got lots to talk about. Tell me about these two fantastic daughters of yours. And what's going on? First of all, let's talk about Alexis, please. Alexa, please.
So, I was in Dallas at the VIL qualifier for the Olympics. So, they're in ninth. They need to finish in ninth, Team Canada. So, I don't know if your viewers know, I have two daughters, and obviously their mom is no longer with us, but one was born in Las Vegas. The other one was born in Calgary. So that's where I have one kid that played she was in the last Olympics in Japan with a rugby team, and they came in fifth, and she's great. And then Alexa's trying to qualify for with Team Canada to go to the Paris Olympics. And obviously, DP, you know, I'll be there. They just took one on the chin by Italy.
Yeah, that was tough.
This morning. Yeah, Italy is really good. They're the third or fourth best team in the world. So, but these next three is very important. So Alexa is trying to qualify for the Olympics. And, you know, DP always tell, and your listeners, you want your kids to be better than you. And my kids are way better than me. I was a pretty good athlete, but I think my two beautiful daughters are the coolest two chicks in the world. And I think, I mean, I hope that they can play well against Japan tomorrow. And then they have the Netherlands, and hopefully she can qualify for the Olympics, and I can have two kids that, you know, qualify for the Olympics and played in the Olympics. That'll be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, and let's not bury the fact. I mean, again, that I don't know many parents have Olympians in two countries, in two different sports.
Yeah. Same mom and same dad, right?
Wait a minute. You produced one of the best volleyball players in the world and one of the best rugby players. Yeah, you did okay, Dad. How is Jordan?
You know me, DP. You know, I just like always. They get it from their mom.
Yeah,
and you know, and Jordan just retired, and she had a baby, and my granddaughter Solana is like, she's going to be the next. Hopefully, we can get her to figure out what sport she's going to play. But she's only 9 months, and and I'm already training her a little bit, DP. But you know, I'm happy for. She played really well in Dallas, and I don't know if your listeners know, she signed a 2-year deal and back in Turkey, and DP didn't ever drive in Turkey. I don't know if you've ever been to Istanbul. It is terrible driving there.
Well, I was trying to whisper and tell you to convince her to take a little less money and come play for the Supernovas.
yeah. We actually talked about that, and she thought about it, DP.
You tell her Uncle DP said, I got you.
We talked. No, DP, we talked, but the thing is that, you know, the backstory a little bit, when the team she plays for is the second best team in Turkey, so they lost in the finals to Fenerbahce. And some of your listeners are big. Nebraska is a big volleyball state.
Yep.
So it's the money, and you just can't. I always tell my kids, you can't go back and get it. You got to get it where you can.
Yep.
And that's where we're at.
Well, it just, you know, again, we plant seeds that when she's ready to come home, so mm-hmm. Dad can watch her every night and follow her, and she can sleep in her own bed and eat her own food and take care of that. Guess what? We'll be here at Supernovas. Just tell her to make the phone call. And we'll make it happen, Captain.
Well, she already knows, DP. She knows, but it was a 2-year deal too. So
I understand. Look, it's just tough. 2026, baby. We'll make sure that we're having that discussion. Hey, who you? Tell me about this thing. Mavericks win game three or no?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jason and I are pretty. Jason Kidd is a friend of mine, and the others, it's a couple other assistant coaches on their deal. And, you know, the thing is that, will the Mavericks win this next game? I don't know if Porzingis is going to play or not. I don't know. He's the thin man. But the thing is that, and you can hear it in Luka's interviews, DP, he has to, they have a guard because their whole starting five can play. They can drop. Anyone can drop 20 to 25. Even Al Horford, if you leave him out there and let him continue to shoot threes, he'll definitely do that. So, I mean, hopefully Dallas can figure it out. They need a third score. Kyrie obviously has to play better. He knows that. He mentioned it today in the presser. But they need a third score, and they need to figure it out real quick.
I tell people, look, don't forget that it's just two games. Boston did exactly what they were supposed to do, which was win two games at home. The series starts in game three. That's when you find out either it's over or it's not, and that's how it works. And listen, Luka at home is a different beast. Kyrie at home is a different beast. You know, take a deep breath. Let me know how we get when we get to game four. Hey, listen, we'll do it again next Tuesday, Everett Gray. You know I'm a fan. I'm proud to call you friend. And I appreciate you making time for us at the ticket, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Hey, no problem. Got to talk about Caitlin next week.
Yeah, we'll get all about it, bro. Put it on the books. That's Everett Gray here on One-on-One. I appreciate you, brother. Don't go anywhere. More Ticket Weeknights coming up on 93.7 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.